Om Shanti, good morning. The blessing for today of the 9th of February, 2019. May you be a true Raj Rishi who remains free from all attachment by having an attitude of unlimited disinterest. May you be a true Raj Rishi who remains free from all attachment by having an attitude of unlimited disinterest. The explanation: a Raj Rishi means one who has a kingdom. And on the other hand, a Rishi means one who has unlimited disinterest. If there is any attachment to oneself, to another person, to any object, you cannot then be a Raj Rishi. Those who have even the slightest thought of attachment have their feet in two boats, and they are then neither here nor there. So become a Raj Rishi, have unlimited disinterest, that is, belong to the one Father and none other. Make this lesson firm. Okay, for me, the Raj Rishi only meant a pure person. So I had to do some research on this to find out what a Raj Rishi really was. In researching it, the information was very interesting. And its origins in the world says a Rishi is an old person with a lot of knowledge. Historically, apparently in the Vedic religion, there are seven patriarchs known as Saptarishis, originating from the Sanskrit word for seven. They were considered chosen by Brahma himself. I don't know if anyone knows this, but they were considered chosen by Brahma himself, and so no one could attain the status through personal effort or merit alone. Only one person apparently managed to do that, and that was Vishwamitra. Anybody familiar with him? Oh, you all are. Okay. Yeah. And he made tremendous effort apparently for tens of thousands of years and was given the status by Brahma himself. And so this accounts for a later list of eight. And why I found this so interesting is because it links to the fact that we have eight jewels. So they have eight as well. It eventually ended up being eight. Pardon? You think it's the same souls? Yes. It was fascinating. They were considered the highest because they understood Brahman. They're not influenced by the cycle of life and death or karma. So again, for me, that was linked to dying alive and attaining the karmateet status. Yeah. They were considered as those who have understood the meaning of life and all the mysteries of creation. So again, the knowledge that Baba has given us. And they serve as representatives of Brahma. They were also known as Brahman Rishis. And there were two other classifications for Rishis, the Saptarishis or Brahman Rishis. And these were the Maharishis, known as Great Rishis. And they were called that because they had great expanded and refined senses. And their third eye was considered open, fully open. A Rajarishi means a royal sage in Sanskrit. And this apparently refers to one who is a king or prince as well as a sage. You're all nodding, so you're familiar with this. Yes? Yes, this was new to me. So it was very fascinating to see the link between the Confluence Age and what has gone through once the path of devotion began, how they took it and changed it. So our current understanding, again through my further research, is that Raj, as in Raj Yoga, can mean king, sage, royal. It also has the meaning of self-sovereign, world sovereign, seated on the immortal throne of the forehead. This would be indicated. And seated on the heart throne of Bapdada. On the other hand, Rishi is pure, a pure soul. This is a complete renunciate, having none but one, and having unlimited distaste for the entire world, or the material world, I should say, and being a humble world server. Such a person would be constantly bodiless, without constant meditation, and a constant donor. I was then tempted, because Baba said true Raj Rishi, to look at what would be a false Raj Rishi. Anyone wants to think about that a little bit? Because till you attain that, what are you really? Would you be considered a false Raj Rishi? Or what would be considered on the path of devotion if you weren't a Raj Rishi? Somebody who hadn't attained that full status of purity, royalty, complete renunciate. If you hadn't attained that, what would you then be considered? A true Raj Rishi, Baba's. No ego. True? True? Show a pardon? Okay, so he's like a copy, an imitation of a real Rishi, because he would have ego. Anybody wants to offer anything else? No? What I came up with was that a false Raj Rishi would not have one father. They wouldn't have the knowledge, number one, so they can't become that true Rishi. They wouldn't have that complete purity, and if they even attempted to aim for royalty or that supreme state, they would want God plus other pleasures. To have that complete. They would still want their attachments, and they would want multiple relationships, and they would be giving vice to one another. Now we can see where we may still border on some of that. So that aim to be a true Raj Rishi is the ultimate. The other thing that I also looked at is that it was similar to the Trimurti. It's like indicating the process of the Trimurti. Because you have Brahma being that creator, that attaining that level of purity, working towards it, and he's still seated. On the other hand, you have Shankar also seated, so that process of destruction that's going on internally was depicted by those two. But our aim, which is like that Raj Rishi, would be Vishnu. And Vishnu again indicates through all those ornaments that he holds, all the processes that one has to go through. So you're spinning the discus of self-realization and going through that recognition, that process of recognizing who you are through time. And then you have the conch shell where you have to really imbibe that knowledge. Those two are the basis for you then with the lotus being seated above, attaining the virtues. And the mace, on the other hand, would be you having that self-sovereign, representing the self-mastery and attaining the powers. So the true Raj Rishi, from what I, you know, just churned, is that really that's a process that we go through when you look at the Trimurti. What is the kingdom? What would be the kingdom? Baba says, a Raj Rishi means one who has a kingdom Pardon? Power? What kind of power? Pardon? Ruling power? Ruling what? Ruling the self. What would that entail to rule the self? What aspects of the self? So you look at first the senses, self-ruling, ruling the senses. You looked at the powers. And what I considered was the mind, intellect, and sanskars. We have to be able to have full control over that, especially the mind, which can take us in all different directions. And then the intellect, as Baba always says, the foot of the intellect has to be connected to him so that we are then able to make those pure decisions and maintain that state. And gradually, the old sanskars become submerged as these new ones, the virtues coming through the knowledge and the powers supersede the old ones. And the other thing was, Baba says, a rishi also means one who has unlimited disinterest. What would that mean for you? No desires? No attachments? Only connected to Baba and being able to go beyond the body. So you're actually really being in two worlds. Your consciousness is in two worlds. Because you have to be able to still maneuver the material world. So what's the difference if you have that unlimited disinterest? Because you are still in the world. So what would be? You're detached. And what does that mean, to be detached? Clear from the vices. How do you attain that, though? What is it that you have to be able to do? That's between people. Okay. So you're doing the necessary things, but you have no attachment. So, So you'll be guiding, etc. But when you, for me, when you're using that word detachment, it's actually referring to the emotions. Because you can still indicate that caring with the face, you'll still do all the right things. Otherwise, they would say, what's wrong with Brahma Kumaris? You know, so you're still indicating all of that externally. But the key point for me anyway, for detachment, at that unlimited disinterest, it's not being, you're not being disturbed internally. So it's that, yeah, you're stable, that's it. And Baba says, if there's any attachment to oneself, to another person, to any object, you cannot then be a Raj Rishi. Those who have even the slightest thought of attachment have their feet in two boats, and they are neither here nor there. So that for me sort of indicated the false Raj Rishi. You know, if you try to have your feet in both. How do I check my attachments? If I'm disturbed in any way emotionally, that's why I was looking at the emotions. Someone may enjoy the attachment. But that's the pleasure, isn't it? Yeah. It is attachment, but it's not the knowledge. So if you're having one, if you're having that closeness. Okay. As I said, for me. I haven't gotten to the depth of the ocean as yet. So at this point, I look at emotions. If I'm emotionally disturbed, I understand what you're saying, that if they're still close to each other, but they're not emotionally disturbed, but what about the pleasure? Because if they're close to each other in that way, isn't there that pleasure? So how would they, you're saying, how would they know if they're deeply attached, how would they know that there's that attachment? Are they, so then my question would be, are they able to hold one and none other between them? So then that's how you would know you're attached. Okay. Because part, the most important thing is to be able to have that one and none other. And a good method sometimes that I think of is, Baba, let me experience her through you and let her experience me through you. Yeah. So it's good. It's a good yukti to hold. How will the other person, if they're holding to Baba, wouldn't they be experiencing me through Baba? Yeah. Because if I'm keeping one and none other, I'm keeping that point between somebody and myself, then that's first of all where the harmony comes. And then that person, if they're not doing that, at least Baba is in the middle to take care of the relationship. Correct or not correct? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What else I looked at was... Oh, Baba spoke of the future, the kingdom. We only looked at one kingdom. The other one, what is the future kingdom, the inheritance that we're getting from Baba? Because that's really what a Rajrishi also attains. What is the inheritance? The happiness, peace, happiness, love, yeah? Contentment. And that gives them which kingdom? They become Lakshmi Narayan, so they get the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. I think that's it. Our lives become valuable when we attain this. And for me, again, it's summed up through the Trimurti and sort of comparing the two Rajrishis. Renunciation was in there. Oh, but they're renouncing the world. We looked at that they're renouncing the world. Pardon? What do we renounce? Our disinterest is in the material world. Yes, so are you saying there's a difference? Mm-hmm. We're renouncing the world, renouncing everything of the world, renouncing the world. Ah, okay. Disinterest. You would have had interest in something previously, and then it no longer attracts you. Yes? Renouncing it means that, and I'm thinking here, if you're renouncing it, you're actually letting something go that possibly you still want. So then you'd have to renounce it. Greater would be the renunciation. Yeah, because, yeah. Mm-hmm. So disinterest is a prerequisite. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Thank you. Om Shanti.